From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This podcast is brought to you by NerdWallet. Are you paying for your me time with just any credit card in your wallet? While you shouldn't stop treating yourself, you should start paying with a credit card that has perks. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? A free flight? Room upgrades? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Hi, everyone. I'm Katie Couric, and welcome to Next Question. Today, we get a look inside one of the most comfortable, sustainable, and surprising innovations in shoes, the wool sneaker from Allbirds, with the Kiwi who invented them.
The idea was weird, and it was weird, and weird in a positive way.
Tim Brown, along with his co-founder and co-CEO Joey Zwillinger, launched Allbirds in 2016 as a little direct-to-consumer shoe company. Tim was the creative designer from New Zealand, Joey the analytical engineer from San Francisco. Both happened to be soccer players, and neither had any experience in footwear.
Largely, this was going to succeed or fail, at least in the first instance, by how strong that partnership was. And this entrepreneurial thing is like another marriage, enormous pressure, not to mention the financial risk. There is also the public risk of something just being bad.
And yet, less than 4 years later, Allbirds is a $1.4 billion company with retail stores around the world and big plans to expand into other fashion realms. So my next question, how did Allbirds become the little shoe company that could? I recently had the chance to interview Tim Brown for our very first Next Question Live, an intimate innovation-focused series in front of a live audience in New York City.
The last time I saw you, you interviewed Sheryl Sandberg on stage, and it was a pretty intense interview, so I was a little nervous. So let's do a friendly...
Don't worry. Yeah. No, I think you're not in the hot seat like Facebook was at the time.
I went pretty easy on Tim. We started with his background. He grew up in Wellington, New Zealand, but came to the States for college, attending the University of Cincinnati for design. Eventually, he went to the London School of Economics. But what's unique about Tim's background is that he spent the better part of his 20s as a professional athlete. When the rest of his friends were grinding away in offices, Tim was on the field playing soccer, or as it's known across the pond, football.
I don't think I was a natural athlete by any stretch, but I was determined and I was competitive. And I realized at a very, very early age, I hated to lose, really, really hated to lose. And so that became a kind of a theme of my sporting career. And I kept edging towards doing a little bit more. And then you know, the goals keep expanding. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're at a World Cup in 2010. So it was just an incredible journey. And I was lucky.
It was a journey that set the flight path to Allbirds.
It was like a boyhood dream to be able to play football professionally, and then you realize, like anything else, it's a job, and there's some great things about it and some not so good things about it. One of the great things about it was you got free gear, and I was sponsored by one of the big sportswear companies that I don't like to name, And
oh, go ahead.
I won't. And and you know, I got lots of free gear, and it was cool. It was awesome. And you know, but this idea was really born out of that. I mean, everything had logos. I felt like a kind of a walking billboard at times for this brand, and certainly in the context that I was living in, it was very, very hard to find a simple shoe without logos. So I rather naively, while I was still very much focused on soccer, knee deep in my career, set out to try and see if I could make one.
What Tim wanted in a shoe was something simpler. No bells, no whistles, no fuss. A design that didn't need to be thrown out and updated every year. And he didn't think he was the only one who wanted that.
Did the world need another shoe brand? No, but I definitely saw a kind of a white space for a different type of design philosophy. But the real insight came when in one of my off seasons, I flew to a footwear factory that I found online, and I walked into this whole new world that I knew absolutely nothing about.
That footwear factory was in Indonesia, where Tim found a world of synthetic fabrics, cheap shoes made cheaply for maximum profit. He left the factory with a mission.
I think I'm going to make a couple of thousand pairs of shoes, which was the minimum that the guy would make. And I didn't have a plan much beyond that, except that I thought I might sell them to my teammates or something. And that's what I did.
What did you see that was missing from the landscape in terms of a shoe and shoe production?
So it becomes three things. So the first one's design. And I mean, that's as clear to me today as any, you know, as kind of a minimalist who'd been trained in this idea of sort of taking things away, of design as sort of the form following the function. That was really clear. And then it became about materials, because it seemed obvious to me that the footwear industry had defaulted to making things out of synthetic materials, largely based on cost, and that there was an opportunity with different materials that had been overlooked. And I was back in New Zealand reading a magazine literally about this huge decline of the wool industry in New Zealand, and how they were desperate for innovation. This was a very, very important primary industry in New Zealand that had been, you know, really destroyed largely by the synthetic industry over a long period of time, and was crying out for innovation. And so I applied for this grant while I was still playing soccer that was successful. That was how desperate they were. And they started making this material to make shoes out of wool. And this went on for years. And again, I mean, this is happening over so long. So I think the story starts probably 2007, and I'm still chipping away at this like 3 or 4 years later. So it's happening slowly. But you know, the opportunity to use these different types of materials seemed, why has no one done this before? This idea seems so obvious. And everyone I talked to about it, they said, why has that not been done before? It's probably a dumb idea, but why has it not been done before?
The materials seemed attractive to you in terms of comfort and style, and what else?
So peak sheep in New Zealand is sort of 1980, circa 1980, and there's 70 million sheep, and now there's less than 30 million, 25 million, and no one in New Zealand is growing up dreaming of being a sheep farmer. So this is an industry that's crying out for innovation. I get this grant. It comes out of a research lab with this material, and you know, I subsequently go to the World Cup, retire, and all of a sudden show up at business school in London, which is where I went, and I have this material that has largely been made for me with no restrictions, that's taken a long time, and a little bit of shoemaking knowledge from my forays into Indonesia. And so again, another moment of time just to put these two things together. And you know, you start to understand that wool is this, you know, incredibly soft, you know, wicks away moisture, this sort of really the ultimate natural performance fabric. So I started to see the opportunities, and I understood them inherently as a Kiwi, I think, in terms of the possibility of this material. But I hadn't yet pieced together the third piece of this and how it fits into the topic of sustainability. It wasn't what I was focused on. It was the product, but that was the sort of sequence of events.
And we should mention, yeah, along the way, you went to the London School of Economics, and then you went to business school at Kellogg, right?
Yeah, so I retired from sport after the World Cup. It was never going to get any better than that. And I decided to get serious about life at 32. And I had an entrepreneurship class at Kellogg, taught by a professor called Carter Cast, who was a former CEO of Walmart.com, this amazing guy. And it was a 10-week entrepreneurship class, and everyone had to pitch an idea. And so I came in, and there was a class not dissimilar to this in size, and everyone had 1 minute to pitch their idea, and I got up and I said, wool shoes. And they voted down the ideas until there was 10 teams of six. And miraculously, wool shoes got picked, and all of a sudden, I had this like six-person team at business school running at this idea in ways that you know, I'd never really thought about it. And it was just this weird moment. You have these moments, that was a moment. When if the idea hadn't been picked in that particular class, maybe it doesn't happen. And we ran with it.
When we come back, how Tim picked his partner and how their professional marriage almost killed the Allbirds' dream.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Tim Brown was eager to see if his wool shoe idea had any traction, so he went back home to New Zealand, shot a little video on a friend's sheep farm, and posted it, along with the six pairs of wool shoes he had made so far, on Kickstarter.
We embarked on a journey to create our first shoe, designed specifically for sockless shoe wear, with as few seams as possible. A shoe that bridged sport and fashion, and was as comfortable with a pair of jeans as it was in the gym.
And this is a true story. Before my mum could even work out how to buy a pair on Kickstarter, because she's having some technical problems with a credit card at checkout, we'd sold the 1,000 pairs that we could make, because that's all I could, in 4 days. And it did $125,000, and my phone didn't stop buzzing, and I had to switch it off because of the trajectory it was on and not being able to deliver on the product.
So were you shocked?
I was shocked and scared. It's very easy to have an idea, much, much harder to actually put it in front of people that you don't know and ask for money out of their wallet. And the sooner you do that, the sooner this thing becomes real. And it's also the moment, if you're doing it right, you get really scared. And that's what I was. I was really scared.
Why scared?
Because the truth be told, I didn't really know how I was going to make all of these things. I didn't really have any knowledge of shoes, and it turns out they're extraordinarily difficult to make. And I was making it with material that had never been used before. So there was a bunch of things that were difficult about it. Anyone who's built anything, will tell you there is that moment where you doubt yourself, and you know you've got to push through, and you lean on your family and your friends, and my girlfriend, now wife, paid some of the bills, and you push through. And I had a very, very difficult year, but delivered the 1,000 pairs of shoes around the world for the most part, and was at another juncture.
The Kickstarter campaign attracted a lot of attention from consumers and also investors. It should have been a big confidence boost. Instead, Tim was full of self-doubt.
You know, my dad had started to refer to me as a cobbler, which was really annoying. And so you're like, what am I doing? And this is, this is a little, maybe it's become almost a little bit of a cliched conversation these days, but I was kind of missing the why behind this whole thing.
Tim's wife's roommate from Dartmouth is married to Joey Zwillinger, an engineer living in San Francisco. Joey would help Tim figure out the why.
He had really committed his career to sustainability and the use of renewable materials. And for my, you know, as clear as my design vision was, he had an equally clear vision around a sort of revolution that was going to come in sustainability and sustainable manufacturing, that the world was going to need to find better ways to make things, in his words. And it was going to happen in a whole bunch of industries, but the first industry that was going to lead the way was the fashion industry. And moreover, the fashion industry had a real problem to solve. I had in Joey an engineer. He'd been to Wharton. He was in many ways a scientist, anchored in the materials and the operational side of it. And so I found the person that could do all the bits I didn't want to do. So it was perfect.
It was perfect, and it was official. Allbirds was up and running, online, and crushing it. But already there were cracks in the relationship.
Yeah, so we started working out of his mother-in-law's house in San Rafael. We raised a couple of $1 million in venture capital. I think we had five employees. We launched Allbirds on the 1st of March, 2016. And we had a business plan that was largely made up and fabricated. we did $1 million in the first month, blew through, I think, our first 3 years of sales inside the first 6 months or something. This thing took off in a way that we could never have imagined. And we're a month into this, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking he's looking at me, and we're saying, I don't think I want to work with you anymore. I think we'd just been through this enormously, like 6 or 7 months of heads down, just grinding with all the uncertainty of whether this was going to completely fail and all the embarrassment that would come with that. And it had actually gone well. But just the emotion of building something, with that much pressure on so many things. And Joey had two little kids at the time. He'd stepped away from this well-paying job. And it was a moment where I just think we let it all out. And all the good and the bad came out over a series of beers one afternoon. It was a pretty important moment. It's an opportunity to sort of understand people's hopes and fears. Could have gone either way, I think.
What is he good at and what are you good at?
There's a bunch of things. Very different sort of skill sets. He's an analytical engineer. I'm a creative designer, so I think that's a very big distinction. He's an American and I'm a New Zealander. and that cultural nuance, I actually is married to an American. These two cultures go together so well, I think, in many ways. The sense of humor and maybe New Zealanders' lack of confidence. I won't say anything. You know what I'm talking about. Americans don't lack that at times. I'll say that very politely. So these two things kind of coming together. I was taught to not talk up ideas and have big ones. Culturally in New Zealand, it's a little bit of a problem in some ways. Like it's like, you would never tell anyone as a kid you wanted to go to the World Cup. You just would never do that. That's how you get beaten up at school, because you think you're good and you think you're better than everyone.
So humility is really valued.
It's really valued to a point, almost to a fault. And then when I came to America, the biggest gift that America's given me is like, yeah, it's okay to say you're going to go do something good and then get after it. There's absolutely no shame either if it doesn't go right. That is a gift as well. And so those two things coming together has been really, really valuable. And then we split it as co-CEOs, and I ran the product and the brand, and he ran the sort of the operations and the supply chain and the finance and the technology, and it's worked out really well.
Coming up, why shoes are destroying the environment and how Allbirds wants to fix that.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more.
Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot of debate around just how bad the fashion industry is for the environment. Its complex and multi-layered supply chain touches agriculture, livestock, petroleum, mining, construction, shipping, and manufacturing. And the advent of fast fashion, the mass manufacturing of cheap, trendy clothes, hasn't helped. But shoes in particular have a terrible rap.
She shoe-shamed me.
Because they essentially never biodegrade. They just live on and on and on. And 20 billion pairs of shoes are manufactured every single year. So where does that leave Allbirds?
Joey had an enormous amount of expertise here, but we believed we could do it differently, that we could bring new materials to bear in footwear. And we could focus deeply on them and innovate around them. We could do that not just because it's the right thing to do, but do it because it made more comfortable products and a better experience. And I think that's a really key early insight. People don't buy sustainability, they buy great products. And it's incumbent on sort of business to sort of change and make things in a better way. And that was a really key kind of plank for the way that we were working. And we set off to do that. And we did it with one material in wool, and we've added another in eucalyptus fiber, and subsequently again a sole made from sugarcane. And you know, our belief is that natural materials are the pathway to better practice for the fashion industry.
You're certified B Corp and you've stayed true to your commitment. Not only in the construction of the shoes are you trying to be environmentally sensitive, but what about all up and down the supply chain?
It's a lot to do with certifications. You can't be everywhere, so you need to invest in materials that you know, the best in the business and lean into certifications that are meeting the right type of environmental standards. And we do it in the case of our wool with ZQ, Bonsucro with our sugar, and FSC, Forage Stewardship Council, for our eucalyptus. So those things are really important. And then, you know, you want to also sort of measure and understand your carbon. So that was another big thing. And I think it's a really key point, because the topic of sustainability is a really complicated and confusing one. And I think if we went around this room and asked people, like, what does sustainability mean? Some people might say it's about water usage and land usage, and others might say air quality, and someone else is going to say end of life, or transport. And the reality is all of those are true and important, but they ladder up to the singular idea that carbon is the scorecard that we're going to be judged by as we work our way out of this environmental crisis that we're in. And so that was a kind of a key kind of insight for us as we've gone through. So measuring carbon deeply all the way through our supply chain is something that we've done largely from the beginning.
Let's talk about the Amazon controversy. Were you surprised that they made Allbirds knockoffs, and how pissed off were you?
You know, it's we're not the first company to have been imitated by them.
But when it happens to you,
yeah, you know, there was frustration. I mean, I think we've had so many copycats since we've launched. It's been mind blowing, and I want to say there's north of 20 at least, and they cropped up at a regular. On a regular basis. But when the world's, you know, one of the world's most valuable companies does it in what we sort of thought was a little bit of an unfair way, we were disappointed. And more importantly, I think it coincided pretty closely with, you know, some of the urgency that consumers and customers are feeling around the environment and sustainability. And they copy the design and they don't copy our materials. And so we're thinking, okay, well, fair's fair, copy the design, But, you know, what would be really great is if you copied the spirit of what we're doing.
And in fact, Joey, your partner, posted an open letter on Medium to Amazon last month. He invited the company to steal your sustainability practices, not just your designs. And are you optimistic that they'll take you up on that? And one person asked me to ask you if you'd ever heard from Jeff Bezos after he stole your shoe.
We haven't, but we hope to, and genuinely. I mean, our soles are made from sugarcane, and when we launched that material innovation, we made it open source so that everyone could use it.
In fact, I think that's an interesting point, Tim, that you share your innovation mm-hmm. with anyone, because you would love a lot of people to use these techniques in other shoes and other products in general.
Absolutely, and we do that not just because we're good guys, although we completely understand that the topic or the challenge of sustainability is not going to be solved by Allbirds or even by one brand. It's going to be solved by lots of companies sharing best practice and working together. And so we've understood that. It's been foundational. But we also know is that this new material, the more people that used it, the cheaper it would become. And that's what's happened. And there's now 20 companies, I believe, are planning to use this material this year. So, you know, we sort of said, Mr. Bezos and Amazon, why don't you use that too? That'll be great. And so that was the source of Joey's letter, and it went well.
You've got 16 retail stores worldwide, and you're opening up 20 new retail locations, I guess, in 2020?
Yeah? Correct. Yeah, correct. It's really exciting, and retail's been phenomenal for us.
That's so interesting because, you know, that's other people are going the other direction, right, and not opening up. I guess there's a combination of what people are doing with bricks and mortar stores versus online shopping, but you feel like you want people to have this kind of experience of seeing the actual products.
Absolutely.
I mean, feeling them.
Everyone, you know, the myth about retail dying or being dead, I think has been greatly exaggerated. And, you know, particularly in the case of shoes, everyone's got a childhood memory of going to a shoe store and trying on shoes with that metal device that no one knows the name of. And, you know, and so we always wanted
yeah,
to get
it.
Yeah,
what is that called?
No one knows, yeah. No one knows. It's just a thing. And so we always knew we wanted to do it. I think we would be blown away by just how much our customers have wanted to come in and experience and touch the product and then ask really, really deep questions. And then the other thing that's been amazing is, you know, the real innovation opportunity is with the people that work in retail who, for the most part, are not treated all that well. And so, you know, we've tried to really think about the training and investing in the people that work for us in stores. And that's just an amazing opportunity that we're just beginning to uncover. And we're excited about the 16 stores and the 20 more that we'll add. And, you know, the opportunity to make working at Allbirds retail something that people are really proud of.
So workplace culture is clearly really, really important to you. And before we came out, you were talking about how difficult it is, especially as you grow and expand and more and more people are working for you. What, about 490 now?
Yeah, it's somewhere around there. And yeah, you always have little speed bumps. And I think it was easy in some ways when you knew everyone's name and you knew their families and you knew what was going on and you knew Steve was breaking up with his girlfriend or, you know, whatever it was. And then when it gets bigger, it just, how do you scale the things that you as founders think are really important and share those messages and create the kind of culture that when we, you know, we have 25 people in Shanghai in an office there, how do they take what we think is important but shape it into their own version of what's important? And I'd be lying if I said we've got that all worked out. But, you know, what I do know is if you get that bit right, even over and above the product and the innovation and the design, you go a long way to being successful. So we think a lot about it, albeit with many answers that we don't yet have.
Before I let Tim go, I asked him if he had any advice for aspiring entrepreneurs out there. And his answer was, well, pretty honest.
I think that this entrepreneurship has been sort of romanticized. It's normally enormously difficult. And I've been very, very lucky. And I talk about my family because I've leant on them to get this, you know, get this off the ground. And it's hard. So I would be careful what you wish for, would be my first piece of advice. And the second one would be...
That's not very encouraging.
I want to be honest about it. And I think it's there's a kind of a cult of entrepreneurship, and I think only some emerging issues, even to understand, you know, some of the wellness issues around it, because it's a really challenging thing to do. And so I'll start with that one. That being said, you know, go and put it out there, be vulnerable, see if it's going to work. trust that if it's weird and everyone's questioning the validity of the idea, you're probably on the right track. And if they're telling you that it's awesome, stop right now.
Well, Tim Brown, CEO, co-CEO of Allbirds, thank you so much for coming in and having this conversation with all of us today, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here, and thank you for going easy on me.
No
worries.
Appreciate
it. Thanks. Thank you.
And that does it for this bonus episode. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I'll be continuing this special Next Question Live series throughout the year as I host more innovators and business leaders here in our New York City offices. If there are folks you really want to hear from, leave me a message at 844-479-7883. That number again is 844-479-7883. Or you can email me at info@katiecouric.com. Just put next question in the subject line. And who knows, maybe your question will be the one I answer in our podcast feed. And speaking of which, I'm excited to let you all know that season 2 of Next Question will be launching next week on Thursday, January 23rd. We're starting off strong with a timely episode with playwright Heidi Schreck on the Equal Rights Amendment and why the Constitution is long overdue to make room for equality. So make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. In the meantime, if you're feeling overwhelmed by the news, check out my morning newsletter, Wake Up Call. Go to katiecouric.com or follow me on your go-to social media source, because I am everywhere, people. Until next time, and my next question, I'm Katie Couric.
Next Question with Katie Couric is a production of iHeartRadio and Katie Couric Media. The executive producers are Katie Couric, Courtney Litz, and Tyler Klang. The supervising producer is Lauren Hansen. Our show producer is Beth Ann Macaluso. The associate producers are Emily Pinto and Derek Clements. Editing by Derek Clements, Dylan Fagan, and Lowell Berlanti. Mixing by Dylan Fagan. Our researcher is Gabriel Luser. For more information on today's episode, go to katiecouric.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Katie Couric. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.